Hello, listeners, and thanks for tuning in to Dragon Digital Radio today. We are live for a special broadcast at Greenfest, not only bringing you some tasty tunes here, but also some fantastic interviews. Take it away, Brandon.
Hello, HCC. This is Brennan Byrne back at you with some more updates from Greenfest. Right now, I am joined with David and Benjamin from the Autobot Society. Gentlemen, how are you two doing today?
Great. I'm doing good.
Cool. So, why don't you guys tell me what the Autobahn Society is?
So the Autobahn Society of Central Maryland is a group of concerned citizens that started in the Columbia area back in the mid-'80s. They had a focus on birds and bird conservation. And the chapter boundaries have expanded over the last 35 or so years to include not only Howard County, but Frederick County, Carroll County. So we are truly Central Maryland Audubon.
Oh, okay, very Central Maryland. Got it. So why don't you guys give me some background on who you are? What are your roles in the organization?
So I've been a member probably for almost 30 years now.
Wow.
I got involved because the chapter was donated a property in eastern Frederick County, which we turned into a sanctuary. It's the Audrey Carroll Audubon Sanctuary. And back in the early 90s, this occurred. And I had some interest in doing volunteer work there and got involved, started some bird survey work, both, seasonally in the winter and in the spring, and have been doing volunteer work for them ever since.
What about you, Benjamin?
Well, I became involved with the Audubon Society pretty recently. I came to my first bird walk at the Audrey Carroll Sanctuary in January, I think. And the other main way that I became involved with the Audubon Society is by getting involved with Climate Watch, which is an initiative that was started by the National Audubon Society, and it seeks to determine any range shifts in target bird species in accordance with climate change.
Okay, very cool. So you're basically about the preservation of avian culture and birds, basically, right?
Birds and other wildlife, correct.
Okay, so how does your organization go about doing that?
Well, as Benjamin mentioned, there are some citizen science projects like Climate Watch, which are new initiatives. As I mentioned, I started doing bird census work, survey work, that we do on about the same time every year, to kind of get a snapshot of what the birds are doing, not only which species are at our sanctuaries during certain times of the year, but how many individuals of those species there are. And over time, when you're, looking at these trends, you tend to see cyclical patterns of abundance and so on. But over the longer term, particularly with changes in climate, you start to see actual shifts in species occurrences as well. And I think Benjamin can probably talk more about the Climate Watch work, which really targets that in particular.
Okay.
Yeah, so for right now, the Climate Watch has two target species that you survey for, bluebirds and nuthatches. And this applies throughout the U.S., so if you live in an area with, we have eastern bluebirds here, but if you live, out west, you can do surveys for western bluebirds or mountain bluebirds. But around here, you would either choose to do surveys for eastern bluebirds or white-breasted nuthatches. The nuthatches are the other species that are the target. But with Climate Watch, it's going to be proposed to add some more target species in the future, like wood thrushes. I know for sure. I'm not sure about the other couple. But with Climate Watch, what you do is you select a 10 by 10 kilometer square, which is predetermined, and you would choose 12 survey point locations within that square. And at each survey point, you do a bird count for 5 minutes. You're looking for the target species in particular, but you also record any other bird species that you hear or see within, I think it's 100 meters within your survey point.
That sounds like a very involved process.
Well, and the whole reason this started is that Audubon did a study back in 2014 looking at bird populations and trends. And what they found were that almost half the species of birds that live in North America are being affected by climate change. And so what they decided would be a helpful a way of being able to track this is to use citizen science and to be able to start looking in various areas where they already know that there's been a change, either positive or negative, as far as certain species are concerned. And so they initiated this project, and their goal is to make this long-term so that over time, as climate change continues, they'll be able to kind of see what these trends are for certain species. And, you know, some of them are likely to go down. If they're more cold-adapted species that are just kind of at the southern end of their range here in Maryland, with warming climate, we might expect that those are going to be shifting their range farther north, and we may lose them. In fact, our state bird, the Baltimore Oriole, is one species that we're a little concerned about, that ultimately we may not have them as a breeding bird in Maryland with changes, you know, temperature changes of 5 degrees or more over the next, you know, 50 to 75 years. We may lose the state bird.
That would be unfortunate.
It would be very unfortunate.
I don't think would we even be Maryland anymore for our state bird?
That's right.
So you guys spoke a little bit about the sanctuaries. How many are there here in Maryland?
So there are two sanctuaries that our chapter is responsible for. Both of these were just donations that were given to National, and National looked to us as being the local chapter. They are within our chapter jurisdiction. The Audrey Carroll Sanctuary is the one that we acquired. It's close to Mount Airy, initially in the early 1990s. And then the Fred Archibald Sanctuary is near Newmarket, and that one we have only had maybe for 15 years. The Audrey Carroll Sanctuary is about 130 acres. Both were old farm lands, so they were actively farmed, at least on the upland areas. And we have converted some of that upland farm land to warm season grassland habitat for a certain suite of birds that particularly likes warm season grasses. The Fred Archibald Sanctuary is 140 acres, and so it's a little bit larger than the Audrey Carroll Sanctuary, but both have similar types of habitat features. They have streams running through them, so they have floodplain forested areas and these old field areas that are now being managed for bird habitat.
Okay, so are these sanctuaries open to the public? Can people come in and look at these birds?
Yes, they are. They're open to the public all the time, but we have scheduled bird walks every month. And with each month, we switch between the two sanctuaries. Like, our next walk is going to be April 20th at the Fred Archibald Sanctuary. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so our walks are always the third Saturday of each month from 9 to 11. So they're geared more for families because, you know, a lot of people that are hardcore bird watchers like to get out at the crack of dawn when the birds are more active. But our goal is to get families interested in coming out and exploring nature. They're not even specifically bird walks. They're nature walks. So we're looking at all kinds of stuff.
Okay. So you said you were just speaking about bird walks. Do you guys have any close upcoming events to help promote the Audubon Society, like the bird walks you were just speaking of?
Yeah, as Benjamin mentioned, our next nature walk will be at our Fred Archibald Sanctuary, and that will be on the 20th of April. There's actually a bird banding demonstration at our Audrey Carroll Sanctuary on the, I think it's the 12th of May. The 11th. It's Saturday the 11th.
What is bird banding?
So there is a fellow who is a master bird bander who has volunteered to come out to our sanctuary. He sets up these types of nets they call mist nets.
Okay.
So they're very hard to see if you're a bird, and they're also very loose so that when the birds fly into them, they get trapped, and then he can remove the birds from the net and then take measurements, weights, and then actually put a little band on their legs so that they can be tracked. If these birds happen to be found somewhere else or trapped by another bander somewhere else, you can get migration data from the banding. And so we do a demonstration for the public once a year. He usually bands in the spring and then again in the fall during those migration periods. So, yes, this one will be on May 11th. And I think it starts at 8 o'clock. I think it's a little earlier than the typical one because he's out there early catching birds.
Gotcha. So where can people go to find out more about your organization and make a donation?
If anybody wants to learn more about the Audubon Society of Central Maryland, we have a website. We also have a Facebook page.
All right, very cool. So you have Facebook, you have your website. And what's your website?
Audubon Society of Central Maryland, .org.
I think it's centralmdaudubon.org.
All right, very cool. There you have it. David, Benjamin, thank you both for joining me today to talk about the Audubon Society. It was great hearing from you both.
Thank you.
All right, and that's it for Brendan right here at Greenfest right now. I'm going to throw it back to you, Ryan, so we can have some more music to enjoy. We'll come back with you guys later in a bit with some more interviews. Thank you guys for listening.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.